filmmaker Jane Clark is here to talk about her new movie, Crazy Bitches, and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Jane.
Hi, good morning.
Tell us about Crazy Bitches.
Crazy Bitches. Well, the premise is seven women and one fabulous gay guy that go to a remote ranch for some R&R, but things go horribly wrong when one by one they're killed off by their own vanity. And it's actually a film that I wrote based on a conversation I had with a girlfriend that had, innocently on her part, she had hurt my feelings because she was trying to make herself feel better about something. And in building herself up, she said something that tweaked one of my insecurities, and I knew she didn't mean it, so I didn't call her on it. But when I went home, I started thinking about how sometimes we do unconsciously hurt each other, and then you take it to the next level, and it's bullying, and then it's really in a dangerous zone. But even those subconscious or unconscious words can damage over a period of time. And it just started me thinking about that idea and what is vanity being the flip side of insecurity, and the fact that, you know, many times somebody who's very vain about something might be incredibly insecure about another. And if you can just get below the surface of it, you can discover the heartbeat under the bad behavior. And that's sort of where it all stemmed from. And then somehow worked in killing off a bunch of bitches. It evolved from there.
Tell us about the cast.
Cast is interesting. I started with friends of mine, truthfully. Kathy DiBuono, who plays the role of Cassie in the movie, is a very, very old friend of mine. And she was over at the house one day, and I said, I'm thinking about, starting to write this story idea. I'm thinking about writing it for Friends. Do you want to be in it? She's like, yeah, I definitely want to be in it. So she was the first person I pulled onto the film. And then Mary Wells is also a friend from Elena and Don. And, there were a couple of other people that I brought on from my previous film, Meth Head, Blake Barris and John W. McLaughlin. And I started with this cast of people I know. And then I branched out. As a few people had to drop out for time issues, I started branching out to new people I hadn't met before, like Guinevere Turner, who is a wonderful actress but also happens to be a fantastic writer, who used to write on The L Word, and she wrote American Psycho and a bunch of things. I met her at an Outfest women's party, and my friend J.D. DeSalvatore, she was like, you have to hire Guinevere. And I'm like, well, I don't even know who she is. She's like, Guinevere, Jane has a movie called Crazy Bitches. And Guinevere said, I have to be in that. And we went back and forth, and I was like, everybody back off. I don't just cast people at a party. But then I went back and figured out who she was, looked at some of her work, and then we met in person. And when you're lucky, things just fall into place. And she was one of those people that, just by sheer luck, I thought really suited the character. And what I really love about it is that she's this ultra-feminine girl, though she's pretty well-known in the lesbian community, whether I iconic lesbian personality or lesbian or whatever you want to term it, but her character is slightly homophobic, which I also liked because I like tweaking that sensibility of what you see and what you get. And I also think the problem with LGBT actors in Hollywood is that once you're an out LGBT actor, you do run a great risk of only being hired to play gay. And the truth is there's just not that many roles in paying jobs that are gay characters. I also like to hire somebody for their talent as an actor as opposed to, wherever they fall down in the spectrum.
How did Candace Cain come aboard?
Candace was in my film Meth Head. She played a transgendered character in that film. And the interesting thing for me during that process was she lives in this house with meth addicts and in the film. And I would go around to Q&As, and most of the time somebody in the audience would ask, why is this beautiful woman in this house with these meth addicts? And when I wrote the script, I never wrote anything in about her being transgendered because I assumed whoever I would hire that the audience would just be able to tell or would know the person and know that they were trans. And I ran into this problem because she's so beautiful and so feminine and fully embodies who she is that I had to explain to the audience that, well, she's trans and people in this house accept her as she is without explanation, and she then therefore accepts them, and so it's a comfortable place for her even though this other stuff is going on. And it got me thinking about, if nobody knows, then why does she have to play trans? Why can't she just play the woman she is? And so the scene that she's in was a fresh scene that came about because somebody I knew, one of the girls in the film, read the script and said, Jane, you know, this is a really good script, but you're missing what every horror movie needs, and that is either opening with a murder or opening with sex. And I was like, So when I went back to think about how I was going to adjust that, I thought about Candace, and I thought about her power and her sexuality and her beauty as a woman. And so I wrote the role for her just to be a very powerful, oversexed female. And then I just sent it to her and was like, hey, Candace, you want to do this? And actually, from all of that, we've started working on a project together that hopefully I'll be able to shoot sooner rather than later, where she's a lead in the film and she's playing a woman.
What was your inspiration for this film?
One of the things that I examined in the process of looking at vanity and insecurity, which go hand in hand, I also thought a lot about perception and the way we perceive people and the way we label them when we meet them. Personally, I've run into situations where, for instance, I used to temp for a living, and I'd go into long-term temp jobs and really have an opportunity to get to know some of the people that worked there full-time. And I had lunch with a girl after being at a particular job for about 3 months, and she said to me, when you first started here, I thought you were a stuck-up little bitch. And I thought, how odd, because I'm the opposite of that. I was very insecure at the time. I was shy, you know, so what she perceived as arrogance and vanity, I guess, was the opposite of that, which was insecurity, self-doubt, shyness, not wanting to make waves in an office I didn't belong in. It was all these other things, and I lasted long enough that she could get to know me that she realized that, as she said, you're actually a really nice person, and I thought, yeah, that's right, I am. I've had a few experiences like that before, where somebody has made a quick judgment about me for one reason or another and then stuck around long enough to learn that I'm not that they thought at first. And I think there's something really interesting about that idea of the way we quickly sum up somebody based on maybe how they're dressed or what their voice sounds like or whether they're shy, whether they're outgoing or not, how they present in terms of their personality. And we make this judgment, and if you don't take the time, and a lot of times you don't have the time to take, you will completely misread somebody. So my goal with all these characters, with that in mind, was to show you the surface of them and then somewhere along the line give you the underbelly, give you the thing that drives the surface behavior. A lot of times writers won't go deep enough to show you, and I really like that journey of taking people a little deeper into human behavior.
What would you like to accomplish with Crazy Bitches?
There are two things I want to accomplish. First and foremost, I want people to have fun. I like to hear them laugh. I've been to enough film festivals now to know that the laughter is real and the laughter is in the same places and it endures person to person. So it's a really good time. And after coming off of Meth Head, which was a very, very serious movie that was sometimes hard to participate in with an audience with because it was so many tears involved, I really wanted to make a movie that when people walked out, they were smiling, they were laughing, they were talking, they'd had a good time with their friends. And I think that I've accomplished that. My underlying theme to the movie is important to me, but it is only important to me if somebody wants to look that deep and they want to take that part of the journey. The idea that somebody gets a little bit more out of the film. It's in there and I intended it, but I really want people to have a good time. And I think that one of the fun things about this movie is that you can watch it the first time, but you're really focused on trying to figure out who the killer is. And I get away with that. Pretty hard to figure out who the killer is. But if you go back and watch a second time, you'll kick yourself for not having figured it out the first time. Because all the little pieces are there. They're just layered in really subtly. And I've been told by people who have seen it more than once that it actually gets more fun the second time because you're not now trying to figure things out. You're now just listening and watching pieces of the movie instead of the whole.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT equality?
I don't think of myself necessarily as an activist in any way. I'm a filmmaker and a storyteller first. But I have quite a number of very dear friends that are LGBT. And I mean all of them. So the way I see the people around me, I see people just like me who love the same sex, love the opposite sex, love both, have chosen to change their gender because they feel more truthful about themselves and more whole as another gender, but then they may be gay as another gender and they may be straight as another. I mean, it's all one piece to me, and as is straight. I mean, I see everybody as just, we're all living this world, and I love all of my friends equally and don't see a difference in them. So for me, telling stories that fit into the LGBT community, because the characters in the films are in the gay community, is just a matter of saying, I don't see the difference, truthfully. And I think that it's important to tell the stories that are unique to the LGBT community. I also think it's important to tell stories where being gay is just part of a whole rather than unique on its own. Because in my world, my friends are just part of my whole. The only way to reach a wider straight audience and to say we are part of this whole community of human beings is to tell stories that bridge that divide, as opposed to fall separately into one category or the other. So when I'm telling stories, my first and most important thing is I tell a story that I care about characters that I care about, that I can get excited to be involved with, because making films takes a very, very long time, and it does not stop when you finish post. So that's my first priority. The fact that I also think that it's important not only to wrap LGBT into storylines, but ethnicity. I want to make sure that I'm not just an all-white cast. You know, I don't think that that's the reality of the world either. I don't want to just be an all 20 or 30-something cast. I'd like young people. I like to put older people in my movies. I think about that when I'm writing the script. How do I make the story really reflect the world around me, which encompasses all of those things? So that's my first priority. And my second priority would always be to include LGBT characters as a nature of course, and not necessarily because I'm telling a story about being gay, but just because people in life around me are gay. And when you go into a store or you go into a board meeting, you will be there with LGBT people, just as they will be there with the straight people. And all of that just becomes one of a whole. So, you know, I'm interested in always making sure that there's just people that are gay in the film, even if we don't talk about it. Like Candace being trans in Method, it was important to me just that she just be. I always try to make that happen. And then I'm also interested in hiring my gay friends to play straight, because I want to give them something that says, look, you know, there are limitations. There are some straight people that could never pull off gay, and there's some gay people that could never pull off straight. But for the most part, an actor should be able to go into a job, audition for it, and get hired based on what they bring into the room and what they're capable of, and not based on their sexual identity.
How can people get information about Crazy Bitches?
Well, we're everywhere. We have a website, which is thecrazybitchesmovie.com. So most information is aggregated there. We also have a Facebook page, which is The Crazy Bee Nation. And we couldn't use Crazy Bitches because Facebook on public pages won't let you, because apparently bitches is still a bad word, which is a whole other discussion of interest to me. And Twitter is crazybitchesmov. So all of those things are very active. You can continue to learn about where we are. If you want to find us on iTunes or Amazon or your local cable station, all of the places you can find us are also on the website, because we're up and running and want you to come check us out.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I wouldn't say that it's a question I want someone to ask, but it's a conversation I'd like people to have about the word bitch and how we use it, and how language changes, and how I believe that slowly over the last few years, women have been taking that word back and disempowering its negative value. And I think that if we come together and we all took that as the way we look at it, we could disempower that word simply by using it to the positive, as people have started doing already. And I think that conversation about language and the word, and the word evolving, and how to claim the power as a woman as opposed to allowing somebody to hurt us with it is an interesting conversation to have, and I'd like people to have it.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
You know, I do. The way I look at it, life and my career and the work ahead of me and where I want to go, is that we all set ourselves off down a path, and I like to consider considered a garden path because I like gardens. Makes me happy. You walk down that garden path, sometimes you run into a brick wall. And instead of trying to break through the brick wall, I've discovered that if I take a step back and I look around, there's a gate somewhere that I didn't expect or didn't realize. And if I trust and I walk through that gate rather than trying to break through the impossible or the very difficult, that on that other side of the gate, there's a better garden that I didn't know existed. There's a better solution. There's a better answer to the problem that I might have been facing. So I always try to look at life that way and take a deep breath when faced with obstacles to look around and find the garden gate.